will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God is good, and all the time. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bid you happy Sabbath. It is very nice to see you in God's house. My prayer is that this experience will long remain with us because of the work of the Holy Ghost in our hearts as the Word of God is preached from various venues. Thank you for coming. We thank God for granting all of us traveling mercies wherever we came from. Safe travel is never guaranteed. So whenever you travel 10 yards from your house, thank God for traveling mercies. Most accidents occur close to home. Most people drown in shallow water. And so it is always to your advantage and mine to say, Lord, be with me as I travel. Even when you walk. We always ask for traveling mercies. We never ask for walking mercies. Even when you walk, ask God to go with you. I want to get right into the message, which is entitled The Stamp of Approval. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I come to you, dear God, because I have nowhere else to go. I come to you, Father, because you've invited me to come. Let us therefore come boldly. Father, I don't claim to come boldly, but I come clinging to the cross of Christ. That's my protection. And even as His blood drips on my head, dear God, I ask you to hear me. Reach into your storehouse of blessings, Father, and find, even if it's the smallest blessing, give it to me. Because even a little blessing from heaven works large miracles on the earth. And so, Lord, grant me that little blessing, that it may produce large results in the lives of those who listen to your word. I do not count myself worthy to speak for you, God. I'm doing it only because I'm convicted to the very foundation of my soul you have placed your hand on me. Yes. And so as you put a word in Balaam's mouth, Father, Balaam, put a word in mine. Yes. That your name may be lifted high and your lovely people blessed through the word. Remember our friends joining us by internet, wherever they are, dear God, bless them as the word is spoken to them. Hear this humble prayer, dear God. Thank you for being merciful. Thank you for being loving. Thank you for being patient and long-suffering. We commit this service now to your glory. We pray in a name you never refuse, the name of Jesus. Let God's people say, Amen and Amen. Our subject, a stamp of approval. Matthew 16, reading from verse 13. We're reading Matthew 16 from verse 13. We read from the King James Version of the Bible. Please find the passages as quickly as you can so that we can move on. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Jesus answered, and Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Pay attention to verse 19. Read it with me if you have the King James Version. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The stamp of approval. Jesus told Peter, there is a way for whatever you do on the earth to be stamped with heaven's approval, God's approval in heaven. There's a way. There's a system. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. With this key, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. This presents to us a beautiful doctrine and teaching. God's desire is that the church on earth and the church in heaven be one. Simply two different locations. You miss what I said? Let me say it again. Differently. If what is bound on earth is bound in heaven, then God's people on earth and God's people in heaven are one. The family in heaven and the family on earth are one. Ideally, Hawaii is separated physically from the continental United States, but Hawaii functions by the same constitution. Can you say amen? Because when you land in Hawaii, where are you? In the United States. Alaska is physically removed from the 48 continental states. But when you land in Anchorage, you have landed where? In the United States. When God made the earth before sin, it was God's ideal, His desire, His plan. Someone traveling from a distant planet, landing on the earth, seeing sinless beings, would virtually be traveling in heaven. The church on earth and the church in heaven must be one. There must be no difference in the principles by which both function. The question then becomes, what is the key that Jesus Christ promised to give to Peter and by extension to any disciple of Christ? I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Let us look at two Bible verses to uncover a principle of Bible study, which is comparison of verses. Let us go to Matthew 12. We shall read verse 28. Matthew 12, reading verse 28, our subject, the stamp or a stamp of approval. Matthew 12, verse 28. But if I do what? Cast out spirits, how? By the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Christ is defending himself against the charge of using the power of Satan to cast out demons when Jesus healed a man who was deaf and dumb, blind and dumb, in verse 22. And the Pharisees said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Well, there were many charges Christ never answered, but he could not let that one pass. And so he said, but if I cast out devils whereby the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. And so Jesus said, I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. That's what Matthew recorded. Let's listen to how Luke records the same incident. Luke 11, let's read verse 20. We are comparing verses, letting one explain the other. Luke 11, verse 20, our subject, a stamp of approval. When you found it, say amen. Amen. Read with me. But if I, come on, nice and clear. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, then no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Now, Matthew says, Jesus cast out devils how? By the Spirit of God. Luke, recording the same incident, says, Jesus cast out devils how? With the finger of God. What does that tell you? The finger of God is the Spirit of God. Amen. It is the power. So when we read this verse And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. We know that the power that wrote was the Holy Spirit. And we confirm that in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3, for as much then as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. We have the Spirit again, writing on the heart, as verily as he wrote on stone. And so by comparing Scripture with Scripture, we realize that when we read, When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, we know the Holy Ghost had some role in creation. Now, let's compare two of the verses and see what we learn as we continue a stamp of approval. Let's go to Matthew 23. We'll read verse 13. Matthew chapter 23, reading verse 13. A stamp of approval. When you found it, say amen. If you're still looking, say amen. Hurry up. We have a long day ahead of us. All right, let's read. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Why? For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Now, if ever there's a crime against humanity, that is it. It's one thing to burn down my village, to kill all the members of my tribe, to speak badly about me, have me lose my job, to shoot me, to keep me out of the kingdom. Listen to Christ. And that woe applies to many preachers today. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Why? For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Hear it in. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. You don't go in, and you're trying to get as many as possible to stay out with you. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. This introduces a very serious concept. The way God has arranged salvation, it requires the involvement of mankind. And many will be lost because mankind, called by God, will not do his work. You read Ezekiel chapter 3, where God tells us that his blood will I require at your hand. Are you with me? And so Christ is saying, because you're not doing what you should do, many will be lost. Having said that, you understand the words of the Apostle Paul when he said in Acts 20, verse 26, for I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now we get a clue what the keys of the kingdom are. Listen to Paul. Therefore, I take you to record this day, Acts 20, 26, that I am pure from the blood of all men. Think, favor number three. What does he mean by pure from the blood of all men? No one will be lost because of me. Now, what does Jesus say? He shut up the kingdom of heaven. Come on. Against men. Now, the Pharisees, they shut up the kingdom. Paul says, I opened the kingdom. How did Paul open the kingdom? Listen to what he says in verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you what? All the counsel of God. So if you're lost, it's not because I did not give you what you needed. What is that? The word of life. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? we're getting a clue that the keys of the kingdom refers to this. But let the Bible be more convincing. Remember I said we'll compare two other verses? Let's read Matthew 23:13 again. Then we go to the other verse for comparison. Our subject, a stamp of approval. Matthew 23:13, read with me. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in to go in. Now, go to Luke 11. Luke is reporting the same incident again. Luke 11, we'll read verse 52. Have you found Brother Luke? What chapter did I say? What verse? Read with me. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have what? Taken away the key of knowledge. Now you may say, but he said lawyers in one place, Pharisees in another. Many Pharisees were lawyers. Or called scribes or doctors of the law. Many Pharisees were lawyers. So Christ is fine. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Woe unto you, lawyers. For ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Why is it the same thing? Keep reading. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered. Same thing. But Matthew expresses it one way. Luke records it a different way. You combine the two, and what do we discover? That the key to the kingdom of heaven is knowledge. Now, let's go back to Matthew 16. We'll read verse 19. Then we'll read another verse that the Catholics love. Matthew 16, verse 19, our subject, a stamp of approval. It's 10 minutes to 12. Thank you, sister. You sound like the pastor. All right, Matthew 16, reading verse 19. Are you there? Say amen if you are. And I will give unto thee what? The keys of the kingdom of heaven, nice and loud. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, having learned what we learned, we can more clearly understand this verse. The verse isn't saying something will be bound in heaven because it is bound on earth. Are you following me? What the verse is saying, something will be bound on earth because it is first bound in heaven, being present in the key. You set an exam. What does the professor of the exam have with him? The answer key. Are you with me? Come on, are you with me? Now, that's bound in his hand. Are you following me? Are you with me? Now, you're taking the exam on earth. He's in heaven in his office. Then you submit your answer sheet to him. Huh? Question A, what are the intrinsic muscles of the shoulder? And you say the ankle, the knee, and the toes. He said, oh, no, that's not bound in my answer sheet. Are you with me? It may be bound on your, not in my answer key. For that to be bound, it must look like what I have. If that's clear, say amen. Now, when the question is, what muscles control the upper arm? You say the shoulder. Ah, he said, now that's bound on your paper. Why? Why? It's bound on my answer sheet. What's bound on earth is bound in heaven because it was first bound in heaven. And the action on earth merely reflects condition in heaven. Nothing bound on earth determines what happens in heaven. What happens in heaven determines what happens on the earth. Now, when you observe Sunday as the Sabbath, that's bound on earth. Are you with me? It is. Is it bound in heaven? No. But Christ says, when you use this, whatever's bound on earth shall be bound in heaven because it is first bound in heaven. Let's go to a passage that sounds suspiciously like what's bound on earth is bound in heaven. John 20, reading from verse 19, our subject, a stamp of approval. John 20, my second favorite book. Beautiful book, by the way. If you read one chapter in John, read 17 when you have a chance. And get that chance tonight. Or this afternoon. John 20, what verse did I say? Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed upon them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, read verse 23 with me. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retained, they are retained. This is the same thing virtually as whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, shall be bound in heaven. But this time Jesus uses the word sins. The Catholic Church uses that verse with great delight to show that a priest can remit sins. That's not what the Bible is teaching at all, because the Bible is clear. Who can forgive sins but God? Now, we live in a society where no one knows what's right or wrong. Are you with me? Now, according to the law of the United States, passed by the Supreme Court, the law, a man can marry a man. That is United States law at the highest level. Are you with me? A woman can, another country recently, last week I think, or 2 weeks ago, what country was it? Some other country, modern, okay, passed a similar, and several other countries have passed these laws. You notice most of these laws are passed in first world countries. But that's another story. Now, here come two men to an Adventist pastor. They're two Adventists. They want to be married. Are you with me? And they have the power of the Supreme Court behind them. So the pastor, being a faithful Seventh-day Adventist pastor, he goes to the Bible to see what's bound in heaven. Am I talking to myself? You're listening to me. He goes to the Bible, and he goes to Genesis 2, 21 to 23, and the Lord caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought him unto the man, her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Verse 24, Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So the pastor sees that. He says, That's what bound in heaven. Then he looks at the two men, he says, I can't marry you. Because what you are binding on earth is not bound in heaven. Regardless of what the Supreme Court says. If every nation on earth recognized by the United Nations passes the same law, it is still not bound in heaven. Because righteousness is not based on a majority vote. It is based on the character of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. And so because it is not bound in heaven, it is not bound on earth in the sight of God. But in the sight of men, it's bound. And so Jesus says, Whosoever sins you remit. In other words, when you studying the word decide, what he did was not wrong. Heaven recognizes that. When you, based on the word of God, decide what he did is wrong, heaven recognizes it. Why? Because your decisions, your remitting, and whatever else you do, your binding, your loosing, are based on the word of God. Having said that, the word of God is a large document. Is there a spinal cord to the word of God? Is there a heart and soul of the Word of God? If you were to liquefy the Word of God and pass it through a sieve, what essential elements would remain? 10. Are you with me? 10. They're called the 10 commandments. Now, why do I say that? When you think of what's bound on earth is bound in heaven, listen to Isaiah, to the law and to the testimony. If they abide not according to this word, whether they speak or they write or they bind, whether if it is not done according to this word, finish the verse. It is because they have only a little light, no light. Any decision the church makes that to any microscopic degree differs from the law of God must be changed. Because the law of God is the standard. Well, let Ellen White tell you more convincingly than I can. Signs of the Times, April 30, 1896, paragraph 1. Oh no, most of you weren't here during the week, so you don't know how we get along. All right. Tell me what I just said. Signs of the Times, April 30, 1896, paragraph 1. The servant of the Lord writes, the law, the standard, which is to test every doctrine, every theory, every profession, is the law of God. Let the Bible say more clearly. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now we have to do some thinking to see how clearly the Bible says that. 1 Timothy chapter 1, we read from verse 8. Our subject, a stamp of approval. It is 12 o'clock. All right, sister. Okay. Do you have 1 Timothy chapter 1? Do you have verse 8? Read it with me. What does it say? But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Don't use it as an instrument of salvation. If you do, it's not good. Are you following me? The law is not an instrument of salvation. It is a standard of righteousness. It is a way of life for a converted man or woman. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for what? A righteous man. What does that mean? The law is not made for righteous man. Policemen are not on the roads because of you. Prisons don't exist because of you. Are you with me? Because I'm assuming you're nice people. You're law-abiding. You're Seventh-day Adventist. You live by the word of God. The fundamental principle in the earth, love your neighbor as yourself. So if all inhabitants of Virginia were Adventists, why would you need prisons? Why would you need police? Unless you're rushing to get to church, then you have to lower your speed limit. But other than that, why do you need police? Why do you need prisons? Why? So the Bible says, for the law was not made for righteous man. Read with me now. But for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy, unprofane. Come on, read. For murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. Stop. We'll go over that list again. We're trying to show that the law is the standard by which you judge anything to be right or wrong. It is the standard by which you bind and loose. It is the essence of the Bible distilled down to its essentials, the law of God. Take away in the new world, we don't have Bibles, we still have the law of God. Can you say amen? Before sin came, we had the law. We had no Bible. So the law of God is the heart and soul of all of this. All of this is a commentary on the Ten Commandments. Let's go to verse 9 again of 1 Timothy chapter 1, our subject, a stamp of approval. Knowing this, read with me nice and loud, that the law is not made for righteous. Now, who has a pen and a paper? Who has pen and paper? Make up a list for us. So we'll go slowly. Are you ready? Knowing this, that the law is not made for righteous man, but for the lawless, but unlawless, and disobedient, for the ungodly, and for sinners. Write in quickly, shorthand. For unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, manslayers. That exhausts verse 9. You have that list? Let's proceed to verse 10. For whoremongers. for those that defy themselves with mankind. Just put defilers. For men stealers. For liars. For perjured persons. Now, read the list for me, somebody. Let's go to the list. For the lawless, come on, and disobedient. For the ungodly, and for sinners. For unholy and profane. For murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers. For men stealers, for manslayers. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind. For men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. How many on the list? How long is the list? How many items on that list? All right, 14. Do we have a competing number? 14. Now, finish verse 10. Read with me, slow but loud. And if there be any other, stop. Any other thing beside what? Those, who said that? God bless you. Beside those on the list? Are you with me? If there be any other thing, which is beside those on the list. Now keep reading. If there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. What does that tell you about the list? It is? Come on, it is? No. It is? The people on the internet are shocked. Yes! The list is contrary. How can men stealers be righteous? How can homemongers be? No! If there be any other thing beside that list that is contrary, therefore, the list is contrary to what? Sound doctrine. Now, look at the list again. Read it all for me. Lawless, disobedient, ungodly, sinners, unholy, profane, murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, manslayers, whoremongers, those that defile themselves with mankind, men stealers, liars, perjured persons. Now, each one of those is a what? Why are you hesitating? Each of those things is what? A sin. What is sin? Now, how does the verse describe that list? Contrary to sound doctrine. So anything that opposes the law is contrary to sound doctrine. Ah, you're slow. You're not Adventist. No, you're not Adventist. Adventists are quick. Especially those who are vegetarians, they're quick. You eat too much meat. That's why you're so slow today. Are you with me? Oh, no meat for you. Okay, sister. Listen to the verse again. Listen to me, my beloved. Can I come a little closer? When you read the Bible, read it slowly. Read it microscopically. Look at what you're reading. Listen to what you're reading. And as Ellen White counsels us, read the Word of God as if you're listening to the voice of God. Because it is the voice of God. And God never goes wrong. Lawless, disobedient, ungodly, unholy, profane, murders of fathers, murders of mothers, manslayers, whoremongers, those that defile themselves with mankind, men stealers, liars, perjured persons. If you look at the list, liars, what law is violated? Commandment 9, thou shalt not bear false witness. Murderers, what law is that? 6, thou shalt not kill. You can go down the list. All that list represents a violation of God's law and is therefore contrary to sound doctrine. You turn that coin around, sound doctrine can only be sound if it is consistent with the law of God. Now what's the message of the third angel to us? Fear God, come on. The third angel, I said. The third. God bless the first, but I asked for the third. What's the third? What are the two elements of the third? keep His commandments, and the faith of Jesus. Now, this is the last message for this earth. If you read Revelation 14 carefully, don't go there, just listen. The last message to the world is in Revelation 14. What we read in Revelation 18 is just an expansion of the third angel in Revelation 14. Are you with me? I'm going too quickly. Let me slow down. The message of "Come out of her, my people," Revelation 18, 1 to 5, is an expansion, a sharpening, an ever-increasing loudness to the message of Revelation 14, 9 to 12. The heart and soul of the third angel, the commandments of God, and the faith of Jesus. Now, this is a message for the last days. A day in which the commandments of God cannot be more further marginalized. Which means it'll be a challenge to preach the commandments, because nobody else cares about the commandments. And we tend to function by majority. When God told Noah to build a boat, it must have been stressful. He'd never seen a boat. He'd never seen a rain. But the message was, build a boat. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is charged with the responsibility of lifting up the law of God as the very righteousness of Christ. We must do this in a world where the law no longer makes sense. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The keys of the kingdom, the word of God. But the word of God condensed to its essentials, the Ten Commandments. And so I give you that quotation again. Signs of the Times, April 30, 1896, paragraph 1. The standard that is to test every doctrine, the 25-20. Every doctrine, keep the feasts. Every doctrine, there's no Holy Ghost. Every doctrine, Jesus is not God. Every doctrine, Jesus had a beginning. Every doctrine, Ellen White was a fake. Every doctrine must be tested by the law of God. Having said that, and because you present yourselves as a Seventh-day Adventist audience, you will not object if I ask you to say with me, Exodus 20, 3 to 17, do not open your Bibles. Bibles closed, please, in the presence. Yes, it's okay, God, close your Bibles. Close your Bibles. You can't be a vegetarian and cheat on the Sabbath. Are all Bibles closed? Yes or no? All right, here we go. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Stand. Let me hold the word as we recite. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Say it again. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Let the church of God say amen. Amen. You may be seated. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, because it is first bound in heaven. Heaven, you see, is the origin of truth, not earth. Heaven, I say, is the source, the fountain, the headwaters of truth. And so God has a people on earth to whom he has given the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And it is condensed, I say, in the Ten Commandments, which virtually every other church ignores, and therefore no other church can claim to have the keys. They may claim to have a physical object. This is a physical object. This is just a piece of paper. This thing, right? This is a piece of paper. The black scriggles, that's just ink. The Word of God is the principles expressed. You don't live an upright life by putting a Bible under your jacket. You don't learn physiology by sleeping with your textbook under your pillow. God has a church on earth. Last Day Offense, page 43, paragraph 3, I believe it is, Ellen White writes, God has a special people, a church on earth, second to none, superior to all in their facilities to teach the truth. And nobody said amen. You must be embarrassed to be an Adventist. Listen again. God has a special people, a church on earth, second to none, but superior to all in their facilities to teach the truth and to establish the law. I thank God for this high calling. But I must never forget, and let me remind you, to whom much is given, much is required. When God extends a privilege, it comes with heavy responsibilities. My brothers and sisters, this world is dying. There's only one reason why death occurs. What's that? And what is sin? The violation of God's law. The reasoning is simple. The world is dying because the law is consistently violated from Adam until now. If that is the reason for the death, the solution is simple. Stop breaking the law. Which is, stop sinning. Then the question is, how? The answer is Jesus. And so the law said, stop breaking me. And I say, how? The law says, Jesus. Then I go to Jesus. And Jesus says, thanks for coming. I've come in my righteousness. Now go to the law to make sure it's the right righteousness. The law verifies. You understand? This indeed is righteousness. This is what the world needs. I say again, the world is dying because the law has been broken. God in His mercy raised up a people in the 1840s and 50s. Organized them in 1863. Gave them a name himself. Seventh-day Adventists. And charged them with the responsibility of declaring the three angels' messages. Especially the third, which encompasses the other two. And they're required to proclaim it with a loud voice. But what do we do today? Oh, don't upset that group. Don't upset that group. Don't upset them. They won't give us a license to build a school. Don't upset them because they won't let us whatever. Don't upset them. And so the world continues to perish because we're so nice. We want to upset no one. Let me tell you something. You know why Cain killed Abel? Because Abel upset Cain. Once you put a mouse and a cat together, you've got problems. Are you with me? The rat doesn't have to think in order to run. The cat doesn't have to reason in order to chase. It happens automatically. When righteousness appears on the earth, sin reacts. And the only desire sin has is the murder of righteousness. Are you with me? The only reaction sin has is the murder of righteousness as accomplished in the murder of Christ. And so we cannot be afraid of our skins. I'm not going down to the inner city to pass out tracts because I may get attacked. What do you think happened at Calvary? What do you think happened at Calvary? That attack culminated at Calvary. It had been going on for years. I met a woman once. I'm closing. She was talking to me. She said, I had 6 miscarriages before I had my first child. I said to myself, sister, you wanted a child real bad. 6 consecutive miscarriages before she had a child. Who wants to do God's work so badly? Let me not be too harsh, because I'm a nice man. In India, anyone from India, where's Samuel? The Prime Minister of India, where's Samuel? Oh, he's somewhere. All right. Thousands upon thousands of women die every year. In what condition? Childbirth. Does that stop the other women? No. Why? They want a child so badly that you watch someone dying in childbirth, you tell your husband, let's work on one. Now, my question is, who wants to serve God so badly that they look at death and still serve Him? Nobody. And you men don't smile smugly. You put your wives in that condition. Some women go through it 9 times. Each time, possibility of losing life or the kidneys failing. They go, what? Because I want a child. But a child may get German measles. I want a child. The child will fall when he tries to walk. I want a child. The child will get mumps. I want a child. The child may be born mentally underdeveloped. I want a child. Who has that urge to serve God the same way, regardless of risk? Now we say God understands. He doesn't understand. My brothers and sisters, there is a stamp of approval. It is the word of God as a general statement. It is the law of God as an expression of the essence of God's word. The Bible doesn't say sin is a violation of the Bible. Are you with me? It doesn't say sin is a violation of the Bible. It says sin is a violation of the law. Then the law must be the heart and soul of the Bible. Am I reasoning clearly? Now today, 20 after, that thing on the wall. Make a commitment today. Will you do that? Let me change things around. Preachers always ask for you. Tell me what commitment you want to make. Having heard what you heard, someone, raise your hand. Tell me what commitment you move to make now. Raise your hand, tell me. Yes.
I want to serve the Lord till I die.
Till you die.
Yes, I want to go to heaven.
Okay. Someone else, what commitment will you make?
Make an end of sin.
You want to make an end of sin? Where? In your life. Okay, well, let's be precise. What commitment will you make?
To fully learn to depend upon Jesus to teach people through education, through nature, the Bible, and character qualities.
All right, sister. You sound serious. Someone else on the... Yes, my little brother. Yes, my little brother. What's your commitment today?
Do whatever God wants
to do. No, he isn't finished.
And
to do whatever God wants me to do and do it faithfully, somebody say amen, amen. For that little profit.
Amen.
Yes, sister.
I want to be faithful and remain faithful to the light that God has blessed me with.
Mm-hmm.
All
right, you want to be faithful to the light. You know, God is merciful. God doesn't say be faithful to this. He says be faithful to what, however much you have. If that's all you have, be faithful. If you have that, someone else. What commitment will you make today, having heard this message, my good brother? You want God to make you a new creation, a new creature, yes. Someone else, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm, so that their blood is not on your hand. How terrible that your neighbor goes to hell because you were so busy, you had no time for the neighbor, you're busy being Sabbath school superintendent. What commitment will you make, sister?
I want to be so faithful to the word that I begin to live it so well that people will want to come in.
And you live it by the power of Jesus, yes.
Amen.
You read that in Deuteronomy chapter 4. The nation shall say, what nation is this so great? That hath God so nigh unto them? What nation is so great? Has statutes and judgments so righteous? That's what God wants. We live so faithfully to the word that nations will say, who are they? Somebody else. What commitment will you make?
I want to remove everything out of my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. I read somewhere, a preacher said, anything that keeps you from God's word is your enemy, including church office.
Amen.
Somebody else, make a commitment that I'll pray. Yes, my lovely sister. Right over there in the yellow. Mm-hmm. 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 All right, sister, God bless you. Let me suggest a commitment for some of you. Those of you involved in relationships outside of the church, break it off.
Yes.
Today.
Yes.
Send a text.
Yes.
And say, I was reminded by a servant of God that be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Break it off. Don't discuss it. Announce it. Are you following me? And if you need help, take your local elder.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was in a certain country preaching. And this lady came to me for one-to-one counseling. I have a boyfriend because I spoke about this thing. Do you know the only sin identified in Genesis 6 leading up to the flood is mixed marriages? The only one clearly mentioned of what the Bible said, there was violence. But you read the first 5 verses mixed. And a mixed marriage produced Nimrod. Who set up Babel that became Babylon. Are you following me? Now, and so this lady came to me. I said, you what? I have a boyfriend. It's not. I said, break it off.
Right.
How? What do you mean? I said, break it off.
Here.
But we've been together 3 years. Well, break it off now. She said, I can't do that. I said, call him. She called him. He came. I said, look, he came. I said, listen, I have nothing against you. You are clearly a man of taste to want her. That's what, which is true. Find it. But she has violated the standards of the church. And the church cannot support her behavior.
Amen.
She has to break it off.
Right.
I have nothing against you. How can I have something against a man with high standards to want her? But she is disgracing the church by violating its standards.
Amen.
It's not you. It is the standards of the church that she's going against. And he said, I understand, Pastor. I shook his hand. He left. And I told her, now let's pray. You confess your sin to God.
Amen.
2 years later, 3 years later, I got a text from her. She said, I'm still not with him. I kept it off.
Amen.
Listen to me. As we make serious commitments to do what's right in the sight of God, remember under Ezra and Nehemiah, it was those with mixed marriages that were causing problems. Their hearts were not in the work because their hearts were tied to non-Israelites. And so their hands could not function. I preach a message called weak hearts, weak hands. And we can't have that in these last days if you are in a mixed relationship. Not if you're married.
Right.
Are you with me? Don't go divorce your husband and say, I said that. No, not if you're married. Are you following me? I mean, this thing called romance, this boyfriend, girlfriend rubbish, you break it off. today. And don't stay friends. Don't try to save his soul. Let Jesus save him. You break it off. Remember what Jesus said, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and do what? Cast it from thee. So if you live in Mississippi and you break it off, move to Alaska. Cast it from thee. Don't remain friends. Break it off. Put an end to it. Then say, Father, here I am with no hindrances. I no longer go to Philistines to sharpen my axe. I ask you now, those of you who will say, Lord, write your law in my heart. Help me to judge right and wrong through the lens of your law. Help me to be a reflector of the righteousness of Christ as expressed in his law. Can I see your right hand? Help me to be a reflector. Stand up with me, we pray. Hallelujah. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, I always ask you to forgive me if I've spoken badly or too quickly or whatever I may have done that damaged the message. I publicly apologize for that, Father. Search my heart and see how I'm eager to lift up truth for you. Yes. That's what drives me to God. So if I've done badly, I'm sorry. Yes. But Father, I hope something I said made sense to someone listening in person or by the internet. There's a key to the kingdom of heaven. It is your word. And the heart and soul of your word is your law. So that it is conformity to your law through Christ that admits someone into the kingdom. That's why our prophet tells us the journey from earth to heaven will take 7 days. That those who have never kept a Sabbath will be able to keep one because there will be no lawbreaker going through those gates. And so, dear God, I lift up before your people the key, your word. The essence of that key, the Ten Commandments, which is to test every doctrine, every theory, every profession. But Father, that which we preach must be reflected in the way we live. And so we ask, O God, now by the working of your Spirit, remove from our hearts our attraction to the things of the world. Lord, let's commit ourselves to advancing the present truth you've given to us and not pursuing another degree. Concerned primarily about our career, let the gospel be our career, our calling, because if that's not the case, your coming will be delayed and delayed. One more war, one more plague, one more famine, one more drought, one more time of suffering, because the church has not done its work. Lord, there are people involved in unbiblical relationships. It hindered the building of the temple and of the city walls. In the name of Jesus, dear God, let them see this is a crime against you. Yes. In Adventist Home, page 67, paragraph 1, Ellen White writes, to connect with an unbeliever is to place yourself on Satan's ground. Yes. You grieve the Spirit of God and forfeit or give up his protection. Yes. Convict us, Lord, to give up those relationships, Father, even if we have to spend the rest of our lives alone. It is better to be alone and righteous than united and lost. Now, while heads are bowed, Father, and eyes are closed, I'm going to make a call. Listen carefully, pray as I call, because the devil is now making his call. There's someone listening to me. You're vegetarian, fine, you whatever you do. But you know in your heart you've drifted from God. There's something in the Bible called, this people draweth nigh unto me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Some have the form of godliness, but no power. If there's someone listening to me, you've been living a flat-line spiritual life, meaning no growth, which is really, a man not growing is going down. You want to say, Father, today marks the day when I decide, listen, this empty spiritual life is finished. I want to be serious with God. I have been drifting from God while I was in church every Sabbath. I've been drifting. I'm coming back to my Savior. And I ask Him to receive me and hold me and never let me go again. If there's someone who has drifted now, this is very specific, far from your Savior, you will come back today. I want you to come. We're going to pray right here. Come now. Don't take long. You have drifted. Not made one mistake. You're drifting. There's a pattern of drifting in your life. Come. Come. Say to God, Father, here I am. I am so sorry. I'm coming back. I am coming back. Come. Come quickly. Come. Wherever you are, just come. I am coming back. I know I have drifted. I'm coming back. It is not just a physical presence in the church. It is the presence of your heart in heaven. Someone else, I have drifted from my God. And I know that. My parents didn't know. My spouse didn't know. The church didn't know. But God and I know. I'm coming back to my Savior. Either get right with God or leave Him alone. Anybody else? I give you 60 seconds and I pray. I have drifted from God. Be a vegetarian and drift. You're not saved by what's on your plate, but be careful what you put on your plate. You're saved by a relationship with a man who is also God, whose name is Jesus Christ. And that union is maintained only through living by His Word. And the heart and soul of His Word is His law. Someone else, 30 seconds. I have drifted from my God. I'm coming back. And nothing will restrain me. I am coming back. 20 seconds. I have drifted. I've been hypocritical to my God. But a well-dressed hypocrite. Come. Come. 10 seconds. I know I've drifted. Cause trouble in the church. All the time. I'm coming back to my God. 5 seconds. Come. I'm in a relationship I should not be in. Heaven does not approve of it. It's not bound in heaven. I break it off by the power of God. Come. Come. Oh, don't wonder what people will say. Just come.
Amen.
Come. I run a business and my profits are not honest. They are not honest. They may be legal but not ethical. Come. Ellen White says religion and business are one and the same thing. Do all to the glory of God. All. Come. I cheat on all my exams in school. I need to stop and just study. Come. 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 Anybody else? I make a final call. I feel convicted to be rebaptized. I've drifted from my God, yes. There has been no growth in my life at all. I was in South Korea preaching. Made a call for rebaptism. 50 people came. I met with them in an upper room to talk with them, encourage them. With me was a retired minister from South Africa. And he told the group in the middle of his ministry, he realized he had not grown at all. He went to the conference and told the president, I need to be rebaptized. I want to start all over with God. The president said, we can't rebaptize you. What would the church say? He said, I don't care what the church says. I'm convicted. I need to be rebaptized. The president said, we baptize you at night. He said, no, baptize me in the midday service in front of my church. Because others need to do the same thing. If there's someone who feels convicted because of the emptiness of your spiritual life, start again with God. I was preaching in a certain country, a week of prayer, and the pastor's wife got rebaptized, and his son got rebaptized, and he baptized them both. I was in another country preaching, and the associate pastor was so reconverted, he got rebaptized. I give you 60 seconds now for this call. Someone who will say, Lord, I feel convicted to be rebaptized because of the life I've lived. Raise your hand. If you raise it, come. Now, if you're coming for rebaptism, come right up on the pulpit with me. Come right up here. If you answer for rebaptism, I need your names, contact information. Someone get me some paper, please. Just come right up. Get me paper. I want the names written, a copy to me, and then you can inform your local leaders of your decision. Let no power change your mind. Someone record the names for me. Rebaptism. Put your name first, sister, then the rest. Anybody else? Father, I feel the need to start all over with God. Start all over with God. Thank you. Rebaptism, come. Evangelism, page 375, paragraph 2. When a soul is truly reconverted, let that soul be rebaptized. Let him renew his covenant with God, and God will renew his covenant with him. Reconversion must take place in the churches. 30 seconds and I pray. Father, I feel convicted. I need to be rebaptized. Start with you all over again and never, ever drift. Come. 20 seconds. Call for rebaptism. Many problems we have in our lives, we're just not right with God. Let me tell you something. When things are going wrong, the first question to ask is, have I offended my God? first place to look is to pray the prayer of David, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me." 10 seconds, rebaptism. Come. Come. I've drifted. I'm coming back to my God. 2 calls. 5 seconds. Then we pray. Sorry for delaying you. Heads bowed. Make sure I get all those names after the prayer. Then make sure you contact your leaders. And after the prayer, just meet with me. Those of you who came forward for rebaptism, meet with me right back here. Let me pray with you privately. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear God, none of us deserves your mercy. None of us deserves your grace, dear God, but you've offered it to us, and we grab it with both hands. We thank you for your patience, Father. You're so long-suffering. When Peter said, "How often should I forgive my brothers? 3 times? As Jesus said, 70 times 7. As often as needed. And we bow in your presence, dear God, in desperate need of forgiveness. Not just for things we've done, but for attitudes we've had. For states of minds we have preserved. Forgive us. Let your forgiveness go to the very foundation of our souls, right down to the pool where the roots of our motives lie. And cleanse us from the bottom up. Oh God, give us hatred for sin, that you may describe us as you describe your Son in Hebrews 1:9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, Father. Give us a love for what's right. The very first promise of your word, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman." Put that hatred in us now. Don't wait. Let us hate sin and love righteousness. Let's love the things of heaven. Let's love your word. Let's love doing what's right, just because it's right. Give us the mind of Christ, we pray. Not one, a mind like it, the very mind. A double blessing on those who requested rebaptism, dear God. Let no power on earth change their minds. A special blessing on those who said, "I have strayed from God. I am coming back. It's Jesus and I. Never to leave him again." In the name of Jesus Christ, dear God, if someone via the internet has made a similar decision, let that person get in touch with the authorities of the local church and make that decision known for rebaptism or baptism for the first time. Father, change our taste buds. Give us spiritual tastes, not just in food, in dress, in spending money, in our romantic lives, in the education of our children, in our social lives, in where we live, in what we watch, in what we read. Let us have spiritual tastes. Thank you for sparing our lives. Thank you for your lovely word. Thank you for the stamp of approval. We pray in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.